Let's take our Bibles tonight. Let's go to the book of Judges, please. The book of Judges, chapter 16. It's been a few months, but I preached a while back out of this chapter, out of verse number 21. I want to go back to that verse, preaching a different message, a different thought tonight, but I do want to go back to that verse. Judges 16, verse 21, and this is a portion of Scripture that is about the prophet and the judge, Samson, and what a great man, and I don't use that term in the sense that he was always the way he ought to be, but he did have a greatness, and that was his strength. But in verse 21, the Bible says, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. So how does a man like Samson, with all of that power and all of that strength, get to that point to where now he has no strength and the Philistines are able to capture him and, like it says, put out his eyes, and they bound him with fetters, and he grinded at the meal. How? How does a man of that strength and that power fall to such a low level? This is a man who, in chapter 14, killed a young lion with his bare hands. In chapter 14 also, he killed 30 Philistines. Alone. He killed 1,000 Philistines in chapter 15 with the jawbone of a donkey. This is a man of great power, great strength. There was greatness all around him. But at this point in his life, he's completely weakened and shattered and destroyed. And what's the cause of that? How does that take place? We'll go back to the previous verse, verse 20. Look at the very last sentence of verse 20. And he, Samson, wist not. That word wist is an older way of saying he knew. And he knew not and wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He got up to go out to fight the Philistines as he'd always done. But the verse says that he said, I will go out as at other times and shake myself, do what I always do. But he didn't know that the Lord had departed. So he went to go and fight as he'd always fought. He went to do what he'd always done, but he did not realize that the Lord had departed from him. And I'd like to say, Fundamental Baptist Church, that God has been very, very good to us. Very good. And the last few days, I've been combing through the records of Fundamental Baptist Church. I've been getting the order of and the names of all of the pastors down through the years. I am the 23rd pastor. The Fundamental Baptist Church. I'm the 21st preacher. Two of the men pastored twice, so in different times. And I went through and read all of the records. I've learned a lot about a lot of people here at Fundamental Baptist Church. Interesting stories. The 70s were very exciting. I'll just let you know that. Very exciting. I'll talk about that later. But learned a lot of things. But I also learned that God, in spite of the moments where the devil tried to destroy this place, God's been good. God has truly blessed Fundamental Baptist Church. In other words, God has been with us, and this has been a strong church for a long time, in spite of Satan, in spite of trouble. This church has been a strong church for a long time, and God's been very good. But you can get to the place, if you're not careful, that you'll keep on doing what you've always done and not realize the Lord has departed. Now, God has not left us. This is not a message saying, hey, we've left God and God has left us. That's not what I'm preaching on tonight. This is a message of preventative maintenance, just to remind us that as wonderful as this place is, we're not so wonderful and so great or so strong that we are without the possibility of getting to a place where God departs from this place. You as a child of God, as an individual, me as a Christian, as an individual, I'm not so close to God today that God could not depart. And when I say depart, you know what I'm not talking about. We're not talking about losing our salvation. The Bible is explicit. Once you are saved, you are always saved. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews 13, 5, the Lord said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that has to do with our relationship with God and our salvation in Jesus Christ. However, you can lose his power, and you can lose his manifest presence. That can leave. You can be saved on your way to heaven and not have the power of God, the touch of God, the influence of God. He can take his hand off of you as an individual or us as a church. And I want to preach out of these verses tonight on when the Lord has departed. When the Lord has departed. Samson did not even realize that the Lord had departed. Samson didn't lose his salvation, but he lost that fellowship. He lost that power. He lost the strength. And he wasn't even aware of it. Now that's frightening. That we could go through the motions and the mechanics, not even realizing that God has taken his hand off of us. So we need to understand what caused this and what we can do about it to not let something like this happen at Fundamental Baptist Church. Well, I want to begin where we need to begin. The reasons for the Lord's departure. Why did God depart from Samson? Why would God depart from a local church? Why would this take place? Number one, reason number one, is because of Samson's misplaced passion. Look at verse number four. And it came to pass afterward that he, Samson, loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Delilah ends up being the downfall of Samson. And the reason why God left Samson was because Samson had misplaced passion. In other words, he fell in love with something he shouldn't have been loving. If we're not careful, if we love things and we love stuff that we should not love, we're tempting God and daring him to take his presence and power away. 1 John 2, verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. If you are loving anything that is of the lust of the flesh, if you're loving anything that's of the lust of the eyes, if you're loving anything that's of the pride of life, you're loving something you should not be loving tonight. You put your passion towards something that will eventually cause God to depart. His misplaced passion. Fundamental Baptist Church, our goal, one of our goals should still be holiness. Sanctification, separation. Those aren't ugly words. Those aren't legalistic terms. Those are not pharisaical words. Now, we're living today when you talk about separation and sanctification. Oh, you're a legalist. That's nonsense, friend. It's nonsense. You can have standards and convictions and not be a legalist. A legalist is someone who says, because I have these standards and convictions, I'm right with God. That's what a legalist does. A legalist says, I'm saved or sanctified by works. That's legalism. But biblical holiness is I get right with God and I allow Him to put in my life the convictions and standards I ought to have, and I live them out in my life in obedience to Him and His Word, motivating by my love toward Him. That's not legalism. That's Christianity. That's how you're supposed to live. So number one, misplaced passion. He was in love with something he should not have loved. Number two, his marred perception. He had zero level discernment, evidently. Or, related to this first point, misplaced passion, he loved this woman to such a degree he blinded himself to the fact that she was trying to destroy him. She was in on the plot. She'd plead with Samson. Samson, what is it that gives you your strength? Well, he lied to her. It's this, that, and the other. And the very next day, he'd wake up and this, that, and the other was happening to him. But he kept playing that silly game over and over and over, almost as if he was just blinded, oblivious to the fact that she is the one who was trying to entrap him. When you're loving something that you shouldn't love, that very thing is going to take from you. Well, you don't realize it's taken from you. He lost his discernment, marred perception. Number three, manifested pride. The reason why the Lord departed was because of his misplaced passion, his marred perception, and his manifested pride. You say, what are you speaking of? Well, he got his hair cut. Remember, that's what he said gave him his strength. He had the vow of a Nazarite upon him. He was to have that long hair. We learn in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 11:14, does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? The Nazarites in the Old Testament were called to bear that shame, the shame of long hair. That's a picture of bearing the shame of the cross for us, the shame of the gospel. It's humiliating. It was humiliating in the Old Testament for that man, that Nazarite, to have that long hair. It brought about that shame. That's a picture of the shame that we bear today as we stand for Jesus Christ. That's why a lot of people have a hard time telling other people about Jesus and giving the gospel. It's humiliating, and they don't like that. It works on your pride. Now, in the New Testament, He doesn't instruct us to wear long hair to bear shame. We're to cut our hair, men anyway. But in the Old Testament, those Nazarites were required to bear the reproach. When he got his hair cut, there goes the reproach. Now he's like everybody else. And when we live in our own personal pride with our own personal goals, we're like everybody else. Instead of standing out, bearing the reproach of Christ. Now he looks like the crowd. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. When he got his hair cut, he cut off his humility. Now he's just like everybody else. Now it's destruction. And now it's a fall. My friend, very few things would take out a church as quick as pride will. We can pop our suspenders. We attend Fundamental Baptist Church. We're the big boys on the block, we may think. It's a big old block, very long block, but not a lot around here. Not a lot of options. The Lord has been good to us. but not because of us. Not because of us. In spite of us, God has been good to us. We do not earn merit with God. Jesus Christ earned our merit for us. And just because we run a certain number and another church down the road has a smaller number does not mean that God's more good to us than He is to them. Doesn't mean that God loves us more than He loves them. God has just chosen to do something special here, and the last thing we better ever do is to think it's because of us. It's in spite of us. In spite of us. I remember first church I pastored. Had this family that attended church there that was, well, they were interested. They were interested. Interesting family. A little odd. And they weren't used to church. They all got saved after they got there. So they weren't used to churchy ways and churchy ideas. They just didn't have a concept of it. And I had made the statement multiple times that in my prayer life, I said, New Hope, when I pray for us, I pray that God would bless us in spite of me. Lord, please bless New Hope Baptist Church in spite of me. Because the last thing I wanted was God to bless that church according to me. Because if that was the case, He'd burnt the place down. I wanted to bless that place in spite of me. Well, I'd say that in the pulpit. And one of the young boys in that family, he's about 16, 17 years old all the time. We was taking an offering. He was one of the ushers. He was taking an offering. I said, son, why don't you pray for us? He didn't understand churchy ways. And he's praying. He said, Lord, would you please bless us tonight in spite of Preacher Wampler? Please. And I just said, amen. Amen. And God answered that prayer, by the way. But that's how we need to pray. Lord, don't bless us because of my merit. I don't have any. Lord, we need you. We need you. And what Samson had done, he fell in love with something that he shouldn't have fell in love with. It marred his perception, and it cost him his humility. It cost him his shame. And now he goes out arrogantly. Look what he says in verse 20. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times. No, you won't, big boy. You may think you will. You may think you've got the power. You may think you have the anointing. But you may walk out of the fight and get your tail handed to you. Because God walked away. Fundamental Baptist Church, the Bible does not command us to ask God to humble us. He said, humble yourselves. So if we want God's continued blessing, let's recognize it ain't us, it's God. He's our power. He's our strength. He's our everything. It's not us. So that's the reason, or the reasons, for the Lord's departure. But let me say something about the results of the Lord's departure. What happens when God's power and presence leaves? We'll look at verse 21. If the Lord departs from you as an individual or the church, you will become the prey of the enemy. P-R-E-Y, the prey of the enemy. Look at verse 21. But the Philistines took him. That's a picture of the devil's crowd, if you will. They took him, put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and did grind him in the prison house. He became the prey of the enemy. He was weakened because of the Lord's departure. He wasn't strong anymore. And when we don't have God's power, we are a number one target for the devil. I've always enjoyed nature programs, nature shows. I enjoyed watching those channels where, like the Animal Planet and stuff like that. There's usually a show where, and my favorite wild animal, if you will, I love a lion. I love how they walk, how they move. I enjoy that. And when they're chasing an animal, I'm not pulling for the other animal. I'm pulling for the lion. I want to see it. Have you ever seen? It's fascinating. Here's a zebra, full trot, I should say. I'm not sure what a strut is, but full trot. Here's that lion taking off behind that zebra, and that lion will almost fly in the air with them big old paws and just dig into that zebra and take him down. It's an impressive sight to see. But one of the things I learned about those wildlife shows is when the predator is going after the prey, the predators rarely ever go after the biggest, fastest, and strongest. They go after the weakest. Maybe weak because of age, maybe weak because of sickness, maybe weak because it's just a baby. But they always go after the weakest. And the Bible says that Satan is roaming about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if you and I lose the presence and the power of God as a church or as an individual, we are prey number one. We are candidates to be destroyed by the devil. You become a prey of the enemy. Now, I'm not interested in not living in such a way that we don't make the devil mad. Heard a quote from an old preacher recently. He said, when you and I die, our goal should be that when we die, hell has a party because they lost an enemy that fought so hard against them. There's a lot of churches that they've become the prey of the enemy. They've been so weakened because of their compromise. The Lord has departed. Now they're being destroyed. When the Lord departs, you become the prey of the enemy. When the Lord departs, you become the prize of the enemy. Look at verse 23. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. For they said, our God, our little G-O-D, our God had delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. He is their trophy. He's their prize. And Fundamental Baptist Church, if God leaves us, if his power and presence leaves us, we'll be a trophy of hell. The devil will hold us up and say, look, God lost another one. Another local church. If God doesn't stay around here, you become the prize of the enemy. You become the praise of the enemy. Look at verse number 24. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God had delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. They're praising their false God for delivering Samson, who belonged to God. We belong to God. We belong to God. He bought us with a price. This is his church. He gave himself for his church. But if we, in our misplaced passion, marred perception, manifested pride, are okay with God and his power and presence departing, and we continue as we desire without him, we'll become the praise of the enemy. We'll become the pleasure of the enemy. Look at verse 25. And it came to pass when the hearts were merry that they said, call Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. I mean, he put on a show for them. They made him do this. And they set him between the pillars. Look at verse 27. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. He brought pleasure to them in his weakness, in his capture. Whatever they were making him do, they were loving it. Not because they loved him, because he represented their victory. He was their pleasure. If Satan can get this church to act foolish and stupid and unbiblical, and God walk away with his power and presence, it'll make hell happy. It makes the devil and the demons of hell happy when a church loses the power of God. Because we'll go through the motions. We'll go through the mechanics, and God ain't here, and we make a mockery out of the things of God, and hell will find pleasure in that. You ever been riding down the road and you see a falling star? What does everybody in the car do? What does everybody do? Look, a shooting star. Look, a star's falling, look. Has anybody ever celebrated over the stars that are still there? Most of the stars are still there, and they're amazing. But we only notice when one falls. There's great Christians and great churches all over this world. The whole world only notices when one falls. And the more influential a church or a preacher, and they fall, the more influential, the bigger the fall. Fundamental Baptist Church, there may be a church somewhere around here that's got 10, 15 people in it. And they may have to close their doors and not a lot will be said about it. But if Fundamental Baptist Church, if we lose the presence and power of God, there'll be people all over this world going to know about it. And last thing we want, so everybody else, man, did you hear about Fundamental? They split right in half. Did you hear about Fundamental? They're acting like a fool down there. Did you hear about Fundamental? They don't have it together. Man, I thought that was a great church. I thought God was all over them. What happened? None of us want that. But that's what happens when you love stuff you shouldn't love. And when you can't see anymore what's right and wrong. When you act like we're blessed because of us. We're blessed because of us. You act that way, we act that way, we will become the prey, the prize, the praise, and the pleasure of the enemy. Now what if? What if there's somebody in here, maybe an individual, maybe a family, you have fallen. You become the prey of the devil. Your life's been busted up. You feel like Samson. You're blinded, grinding in the prison house. The devil's made a mockery out of your life. What about a church? What if it ever did happen to Fundamental? Is there any hope for someone who the Lord has departed from? I believe if you're breathing, there's always hope. There can be recovery from the Lord's departure. Look at verse number 22. Notice the time of the recovery. This is while he's captured, while he's blinded, while he's grinding. The Bible says, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Thank God his humility started coming back. The shame started growing back. His hair began to grow back. Now, let me say this, though. His hair didn't come back as quick as it left. It takes one bad decision to fall. One bad decision, terrible disaster. And it may take, and oftentimes it does, a lot longer to get back to where you need to be than it took to fall and get to where you are. That's why some people, they'll leave church and they'll make one decision. I'm done with this place. And they'll walk out and it's all they can do to get back in. It's all they can do. They'll be gone for months, years. And you'll see them out in town or wherever you may be and you'll be like, why don't you come back? Why don't you come back? And they'll just, I just don't know. It's so hard, because it is hard. It's a whole lot harder to get back than it is to walk away. But you can come back. You can come back. I pastored a deacon one time. Before I pastored him. In fact, I grew up with his son. And I remember in higher elementary, lower junior high, somewhere in that area, I remember knowing that my friend here, his daddy wasn't in church. I remember around that time, his daddy wasn't in church. Went a whole decade, just wouldn't go to church. He was saved, but he walked away from God, wasn't in church for 10 years. But he got right with God, and I became his pastor, and he was the chairman of deacons, because God will let you come back. God will let you come back. I had a Bible institute that I attended for a little while there in Spartanburg County in South Carolina. Brother Curtis Daniels was one of my teachers. Great old pastor. Good old Southern Baptist pastor. Curtis Daniels. And Curtis Daniels had backslid for 12 years. Got out of church, walked away from God 12 years. Most independent Baptists would have written him off a long time ago and say, yeah, he's not even saved. 12 years. Got right with God, came back, became a great pastor there in Spartanburg County. God will let, praise the Lord, God will let you come back. And if you're here tonight and you walked away from God, you walked away from his power, you walked away from his presence. Now listen, he's still in you. If you're saved, he's still with you. But you may have lost his power and presence. You can come back. It may take a minute, but you can come back. The time of the recovery. Now, let me say this, however, about this recovery. I need to mention the tragedy of the recovery. Verses 26 down to verse 28, the Bible says that Samson had to have a lad put his hands on those pillars because he was blind. He was blind. He got his hair back, meaning he got his shame and humility back, but he never got his eyesight back. When you walk away from God, or you live in such a way where God has to take his hand off of your life, you can come back. But you're always going to come back missing something. You're not going to come back and it'll be just like it was. And if nothing else, you lost that time. Those two great men I just spoke of that went out and away from God for a decade plus, they'll never get that decade back. It's gone forever. You will always lose something when you walk away from God. Samson lost something because he loved something he shouldn't have loved. And it blinded him. He couldn't see why he was being deceived. And he got to the place where he just thought, I'm going to do it like I always do it. And it cost him something. That's the tragedy. There is recovery, but that's the tragedy of the recovery. Let me give you one more and I'm done. There is the triumph of the recovery. In verses 29 through 31, Samson has his hands on those pillars. He knocked the pillars over and the whole place came tumbling down. And the Bible says that he took out more Philistines in his death than he did his entire life. When he pushed that building down, he killed more Philistines than he did in his entire life. You can come back and you can finish well. You can finish well. You can finish well. I know a preacher. If I called his name, you probably would know him. Possibly would know him. He had a tremendous ministry. It was a home for children. Tremendous ministry. I'm going to be vague in the details because I'm not interested in saying too much about it. But he left his wife, ran off with a high school girlfriend, walked away from his children, messed up everything, messed up the ministry, messed up his family. Terrible. And he admitted to a pastor friend of mine, he said, I never really had a prayer life. He said, that's the main thing. He said, I never really had a prayer life. Fundamental, get a prayer life. Get a prayer life. Walk with God. Talk with God. Get in the book. Walk with God. He said, I never had a prayer life. And he cost him. And he fell. He lost his family. But tonight, he's back in church. He's not trying to get in the pulpit. That'd be foolish. He's not trying to make a mockery of the ministry. He's humbled himself. He's come back to church. And he's serving in a very strong church in North Carolina. He takes up their offerings. He works around the church. But he's serving the Lord. And he lost a whole lot. But God let him come back and serve him again. You're going to lose something when you walk away. But God will let you come back. You may not get everything back that you lost. In some cases, there may be some cases where you might. Most cases, you don't. And you certainly don't get back that time. You certainly don't get back the bad influence that you had during that time. That's there. But God will let you come back. He'll let you finish strong. Samson took more out in his death than he did his entire life. That's amazing to me. I can't help but think of Peter. The Apostle Peter. Deny the Lord 3 times. What a colossal failure. What a fall to deny Christ 3 times. Take your Bible, go to Mark 16 real quickly. Go to Mark 16. He denied Jesus 3 times. But the Bible says when Jesus arose from the dead, he told the woman at the tomb. You're in Mark 16. Look at verse number 7. Verse number 7. Jesus tells the woman, but go your way. Or told her, go away and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. Go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. Why would he single out Peter? Because he's the one that's denied him. He's the one that fell. The Lord said, I know he's fallen, but I want you to tell my disciples. And I can imagine her going back to the disciples. There's the 11 disciples. She says, the Lord wants y'all to meet him in Galilee just like he said. And Peter, by the way, he mentioned you by name. He wants you to know he's coming to see you as well. He just denied him 3 times. Now the Lord tells him, but I want to see you. Just a few chapters later, there's Peter on the day of Pentecost preaching and 3,000 people get saved. Yep. Because God will let you come back. Now Peter had to live with it the rest of his life. I denied Jesus 3 times. Can't go back and change that. But he got to finish well. Amen. He got to finish well. Fundamental Baptist Church, If you're tempted to start loving something, or you are loving something you shouldn't love, repent. Repent. If it's caused you to not see the right and wrong of things, man, repent. It's going to lead to pride. It's going to bring down a fall. We don't need to lose God's power and presence. We need him more than we've ever needed him before. But if you do walk away, you feel like God's done with me and he'll never take me back and let me be a part of what he's doing. That's not true. He beckons tonight. Come back. You can't go back and fix all that stuff. It's there. It's in the past. But you can start over, and you can finish strong if you'll come back to the Lord.